Good morning. I'm Rachel Miro, and this is the California Report. When California voters approved Prop 36 8 years ago, the state began an unprecedented experiment offering treatment to nonviolent drug offenders instead of jail. More than 200,000 people have taken up the offer. Prop 5 on the November ballot this year aims to expand the program. From KPBS in San Diego, reporter Kenny Goldberg takes a look at the pros and the cons.
Elon Burns used to do a lot of drugs, and he paid a heavy price for it. Burns did his first stint in the San Diego County Jail for marijuana possession when he was 19. He served time again at 21. When he was 24, Burns was arrested for marijuana and heroin possession and did another spell in the county jail. After he violated probation, Burns was sent to state prison for 19 months. Burns thought that was way too harsh.
I hadn't hurt anybody, hadn't stole from anybody, hadn't done anything. It was just, you know, marijuana, for God's sakes, you know what I mean? I was trapped in this addiction thing, and I wasn't a dangerous society.
Burns says each time he was brought into court, a judge threatened to put him behind bars if he didn't clean up his act.
I was scared of prison. I was scared to go to jail before I went, but it was never enough to curb my behavior. The addiction to the drugs takes over. And worse off, when you get there and you learn to adapt in there, it becomes part of your routine, especially since people are doing drugs in there.
California prisons are filled with tens of thousands of people who've been convicted of drug-related crimes. Since it took effect in 2001, Prop 36 has tried a different approach. The measure gives nonviolent drug offenders three tries at treatment before they can be sent to jail. Prop 5 on the November ballot would greatly expand the program. It calls for the state to spend nearly $500 million a year on drug treatment and rehabilitation. Margaret Dooley Samuli is with the Yes on 5 campaign. She says the measure would offer residential treatment to more hardcore addicts who need it, and it would increase treatment opportunities inside prisons.
Prop 5 is about investing in treatment and rehabilitation so that we get people into treatment. We use the appropriate carrots and sticks to keep them there, to keep them successful. Sometimes that's going to mean jail. And in Prop 5, judges have that option.
But only after an offender tests dirty four times. Critics say that's a fatal flaw.
When you have treatment that has no accountability, then people are set up for failure, in essence, because they will continue to use drugs when they know there are no consequences.
Bonnie Dumanis is San Diego County's district attorney. She agrees drug offenders need treatment, but Dumanis prefers to see them go to drug court, where a judge can jail a defendant after only one dirty test. She says Prop 5 is too lenient.
This just allows people that have a drug addiction, that commit crimes, to recycle over and over in the criminal justice system until we finally lock them up for a long period of time.
Dooley Samuli says critics don't understand the nature of addiction.
People will relapse, and that's why you can't kick people out of the program at one relapse. If you did, you wouldn't see success. We recognize that when we see people try to quit smoking and fail.
So how successful is Prop 36? Researchers at UCLA have done a series of evaluations. Dr. Richard Rawson is associate director of UCLA's Integrated Substance Abuse Programs. He says it was assumed most Prop 36 offenders would be low-level drug users. But as it turns out, most offenders have had an average of 10 years of drug abuse. Even so, Rawson says about a third of those who've entered Prop 36 treatment have completed it.
I'm an addiction researcher. I look at these kind of numbers all day long on all kinds of different populations. A 33% or 35% good outcome for this population is excellent.
What's more, Rawson says the state has saved about $2 in incarceration costs for every dollar spent on Prop 36.
On balance, it is clearly a success and a model that we can learn from and improve on. Many parts of the world, I do training all over the world, are looking at Prop 36 as a model to balance the issue of incarceration versus public health.
Regardless of whether voters approve Prop 5, the issue of alternatives to prison for nonviolent drug users has gained national attention. Federal officials say they're studying the question. The U.S. Sentencing Commission is drafting a proposal for Congress. For the California Report, I'm Kenny Goldberg in San Diego.
There are 12 propositions on the California ballot. Don't be intimidated. Prepare for the big day online. You'll find a link to extensive election coverage at californiareport.org. Police officers in Los Angeles are far more likely to stop, search, and arrest blacks and Latinos than they are whites. That's the finding of a Yale professor who crunched the numbers for the American Civil Liberties Union of Southern California. He figures blacks, once stopped, are 29% more likely to be arrested than whites, Latinos 32% more likely. LAPD Chief Bill Bratton dismissed the study, saying it's based on four-year-old data. California is leading the nation in trying to cut back on greenhouse gas emissions. Every few weeks, state regulators release new details of how it's supposed to happen. But what will this ambitious endeavor do to our economy, particularly in the context of the global financial meltdown? Researchers at UC Berkeley set out to answer that question, as Amy Standen reports.
This isn't the first time that California has made a statewide push to go green. 35 years ago, the second Arab oil embargo inspired not just long gas lines, but a raft of energy-efficient air conditioners, refrigerators, and stricter building codes that persist to this day. The new report, released yesterday, took a look at how those measures affected the California economy, particularly homeowners who found themselves with lower energy bills. So where did Californians put that extra cash? Economist David Roland Holst is the study's author.
Generally speaking, American consumers put two-thirds of their expenditure into the service sector, so espresso drinks and haircuts, basically. And when you move a dollar to more conventional consumer spending, you can put that money into in-state goods and services, which have much more employment-intensive impacts.
The authors found that between 1972 and 2006, Californians saved $56 billion on household energy bills while creating 1.5 million new jobs. Based on those figures, Roland Holst predicts that California's new efforts will add $48 billion to household incomes in California by 2020. For the California Report, I'm Amy Standen.
That's the California Report for Tuesday, October 21st, a production of KQED Public Radio. I'm Rachel Miro. This is the California Report.
Funds for the California Report are provided by the R. Gwynne Fallas Foundation for coverage of climate change, URS Corporation, a global engineering and construction firm headquartered in San Francisco, providing engineering, construction, and technical services to public agencies and private companies, urscorp.com, and the James Irvine Foundation, expanding opportunity for the people of California and supporting the California Report since its premiere in 1995.